when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, everybody out there. I certainly appreciate you tuning in. I really love each and every one of you listeners that listen in, unless you're moles. And you know what? We even love the moles because you know what? In the end, the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your might. And the second commandment, which is equally, strong, is to love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And that's what we have to do. We have to realize, before we go to prayer in a minute, I guess I'm giving kind of a pre-prayer prayer, but we have to realize that God is in control. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, a lady prayed for me on the running trail just yesterday. I've seen her before. She knows the trials and stress that we're going through with this radio business, and she said, she said the same thing we said here many times before. We're here to serve. We're here to serve God. We're not here. God didn't tell us to win. He said, occupy until I come back. So that's what we're going to do. Listen, we got a great show for you tonight, people. But before we go to our little outline and tell you what's coming on, we're going to go to the prayer. So, okay, if you will, Lee, take it away in the prayer, fella.
Okay, let us bow our heads. Dear Lord, please help us in these trying times and to expose these evil combinations of organizations and individuals. Please help us to expose Zionism and the apostate state of Israel. And please help our enemies to see the light of truth. And please realize they can be forgiven too. And so in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name, we pray, amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lee. And you people, just in case you don't know the date, I sometimes feel like y'all might think I think y'all are idiots. But I guess this is a matter of routine. This is, June the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2019. And we're all here by the grace of Jesus Christ. And before we go any further into the what we're going to do tonight, I'd just like to tell y'all something we're really proud of. That we have worked extremely hard getting up. We've got a donate. Link on Blood River Radio's website now. So you can go in and you can donate to our show online. You can use a credit, we have about three different credit cards. You can use that. Of course, you can also send in a check. We got a check from today from a Yankee up in Jersey City, man. And it's really going to come in handy. We have to have money to operate this show. I hate to even ask for money, but that's just the nature of the beast. Also, I've got a couple more announcements to make. We're all going to be at Montgomery Bell. What is the date of that? It's the I got the calendar right in front of me. It's going to be the 28th, 29th, and 30th of this month. It's only 2 weeks away. We're going to have a big ballyhoo up there. And, it's called the National Solutions Conference. We're going to be there. Dr. Hill's going to be there. David Duke's going to be there. James Edwards going to be there. I'm going to be there. Blood River Radio guy's going to be there. We're going to broadcast over Sam's show. Sam's is going to let us broadcast over his show. We're going to have Bill Johnson call in to Sam, all these wonderful people. We won't call in because to Sam's show. We'll get the people because we don't rate, man. We're not that good. we're working on getting our reputation up there. Also, listen, next week, just so you can get ready, we're going to have Dave Gaharry coming on. He is he wrote a book called, in fact, he's getting a new one out, newer and tougher revised vision of Erasing the Liberty. It's a revised vision, and they're also making a movie about that. later today, after this first segment here, we're going to be bringing on Phil Tortney, if I'm pronouncing his name right. He was a survivor of the United States ship Liberty. If me and Lee can get through this broadcast without crying, it will be a record, because he's going to really say some stuff that's going to open your eyes. I'm not kidding you at all. But he's going to be on, and he's going to try to be on the rest of the 2 hours, but I don't know if he is. If he can make it, because he has another commitment. But fear not, we have plenty of backup, plenty of stuff. Matter of fact, Jacob Tyler may be able to call in too later today. Well, if you people like anecdotal stories, Sam don't even know this. I was down at the police station yesterday. Don't freak out. I was there as a citizen doing my duty. I came home from my run, did a little 11-mile run yesterday. And as I was coming home, I just got my truck parked in my yard, and I heard what sounded like a 38 9mm class pistol go off. Believe you me, I know what they sound like. So about 5 seconds later, I heard another shot. Well, me, the life that I've lived, I got out of my truck. I didn't rush out of my truck. I waited about a minute. There was no other gunshots. I looked back down at the cove from where the gunshots came from, saw nothing. Came in the house getting ready to make my egg omelet. And I saw this kid coming up to my door. I've been knowing him since he was born. So I opened the door. I says, "Hey, Stevie, what's going on? I sound like I had some gunshots down there, dude." He said, "Yeah, they were shooting at me." So this fellow in our cove, we've never had that happen in this cove, but that's the sign of the times, people. Things are changing in this here United States of America. There's no love of life anymore. Well, anyway, the cops came out, and they weren't there 2 minutes. Asking me stuff. So I did the only thing a redneck could do. I started plugging Blood River Radio. And you know what? It's so funny, man. They wanted to know if I'd come down to the police station and give a statement, tell them what I saw and heard and smelt. But I didn't actually see the gunshots. You know, I went down there and I gave them a full-length, a really nice write-up. And by the way, hopefully y'all are enjoying this story. This stuff like this really happens to me all the time. And as I was down there, naturally, this guy, he actually had all this Marine crap up on his computer. He was a sergeant. You know, I was Army, drafted Army. And I told him, you know, my old standby thing. I said, you know, I joined the Marines back in 67 right before I got drafted. And I was almost in. But the recruiting officer came out and told them they couldn't sign me up because they found out my parents are married. So I couldn't get in the Marines. And then I started telling the old Marines down there, the cops, you know, some of them liked it, some of them didn't like it at all. And I asked them, well, how many Marines does it take to screw in a light bulb? And they gave up. I said, well, we don't know yet because they're still working on that. They've never been able to do it. But before we bring our next guest in, let's see, there was something else I wanted to tell. Oh, yeah, we had one hell of a riot. What day was that we had that riot, Lee, in Memphis? Was it 2 days ago?
Yeah.
We had, get this, we had a guest to text me like 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, man, the natives are restless down there in Memphis. I said, that's every day, Jim. His name is Jim. He calls from the West Coast. That's every stinking day, you know. Tell me something new. But anyway, we'll tell you about that some other time. It was 24 cops got injured, 6 of them in the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, hang on to your seat. We're getting ready to bring Phil Tortney up, survivor of the United States Ship Liberty Massacre. God bless you. Do not leave. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, I requested that song special for our very, very special guest. Me and Lee are going to try to get through this without crying. It's going to be, if you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it 100 times. It seemed like every show, every other show we have is just a heartbreaking tearjerker. We have Phil Tortonio, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He is one of the survivors of the massacre of the United States ship Liberty. It was attacked viciously by our best buddies in the whole world, the Israelis. They attacked them mercilessly with machine guns, with cannons, with even napalm. And get this, people, it is the most suppressed historical incident in United States history. And it wasn't an incident. It was a friggin' massacre. It was an act of war. You know, they didn't just, to quote Phil, they didn't just attack a ship. They didn't just attack American sailors. They attacked the flag. They attacked the United States of America. They attacked every citizen in the United States of America. It's been covered up for years and years and years. It's still being covered up, people. And I don't want, Lee's going to help me remember to plug the website of the book that's been coming out to describe the whole thing in detail in the movie. And with that, we're getting ready to go. I hope you all people will salute this gallant man, this hero. I don't know how he survived. He's probably, you know, halfway crazy because of it. But how are you doing tonight, Phil, my brother?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Eddie, and thanks, Liberty Radio, for getting us on, or me today, and probably Dave next week. But are you sure you guys really want to get involved with a guy like me that's an anti-Semitic for telling the truth?
Well, you know, if I'd have known you was an anti-Semitic, I'd have had you on a long time. But excuse me, no. No, I'll tell you what, Phil, you're preaching to the preachers. You know, we have a little phrase here. We say that an anti-Semite is someone that the Jews don't like for telling, and usually for telling the truth. And a racist is any white man, you know. That's just the way it is in these days. But, yeah, there's no one I'd rather have in the world on than you, Phil. What a hero you are. I'm an old Army guy, but I didn't join. I was drafted. You know, I could have gone to Canada, et cetera, et cetera. I guess for what little dab of credit I could deserve, I didn't go to Canada. Anyway, you go ahead and I'd like to ask you, there's so much to cover. I've studied this thing for 30, 40 hours this week, and I didn't even scratch the surface. But would you like to start with the book and the movie first? Would you like to start talking about a little bit about the ship, what happened that day? What would you like to talk about there, Phil? What you've done, you were there. I wasn't there. I don't know anybody else that was there that day. So I'm turning this over to you, my brother in arms.
Well, okay, thanks, Eddie. I will. And first of all, I'd like to let everybody know about our book, Racing the Liberty. You can get it at Racing the Liberty. .com. Go to erasingtheliberty.com and you can order our book. And I really don't want to give the whole book away. There's no reason for that because we're trying to make sales so we can get a movie done. But I'll talk about most anything. But you know, I was listening to President Trump in one of your commercials. I think it was the last one you aired just a few seconds ago. The sanctity of life. And, of course, I believe that wholeheartedly. But when it comes to the sanctity of life, when you feel the backhand of Israel, that goes out the door. And then the sanctity of life doesn't mean diddly, especially when they're trying to murder American sailors and Marines, national security people, or the one of the most sophisticated intelligence gathering ships at the time in the world. 1967, there was none better. And there was not a better ship equipped to do the mission we were on. And it was all for God and country, folks. Eddie, your co-host is Lee, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank both of you guys for kind of sticking your necks out. You know, I've been doing that for a long time, along with a few other survivors that can't let this go. I'm not going to let it go. I'll tell you why. I saw some people get by with cold-blooded murder. I'm an eyewitness to cold-blooded premeditated murder on the high seas in international waters on a flagged American ship doing exactly what our government told us to do. And I've told people about this. I've told Congress. I've told FBI. I've told many, many different people that I want to make a complaint. They tell me to go fly a kite. It was an accident, idiot. It was an accident. I was there. It was no accident, as many other survivors will tell you. It's not an accident. It's cold-blooded, premeditated murder to sink us and put us on the bottom and blame it on an Arab country. That's just plain and simple, and they got by with it. And nobody should be allowed to get by with cold-blooded murder, not even the Zionist state of Israel, then or now. And I never thought I would see this world in a more terrible place than it was 52 years ago, June the 8th. And we were still in Malta then getting repaired right at this moment. I was 20 years old at the time. Now I'm 72. I'm a young 72, and I still got a lot in me. But, hey, my time's going to come with everybody else's, but it's going to take people like you and Lee and Liberty Broadcasting. What an ironic thing, though. Liberty Broadcasting and Liberty Ship. Now, if that isn't a godsend, I don't know what is. It's just, you know, but the people got to go to, you know, erasingtheliberty.com. Get our book, help us out, and support the men that Trump was just talking about that were slaughtered up on the high seas. I don't care if you're 20 years old or an infant, you're still God's children, period. And if he wants to protect God's children, protect them right now, Mr. President. Tell the truth about the massacre aboard the USS Liberty, June 8, 1967, and that has continued on to this day, 52 years plus. The cover-up was so complete and so thorough It was a well-orchestrated attempt by our government and the Zionist state, the murderers, to hide the truth from the American people. And it's not their fault they didn't know. It's not their fault at all. But now they got a chance to know by reading our book, Erasing the Liberty. It's a fine book, and I'll tell you, I've read a lot of books on the Liberty. I happen to be author on this book with my co-author, Dave Gehary, which is a great, fine human being. I've said this before. Him and I went on this journey to get the truth out. This isn't my first book or my second. I've done other books, been in other books, and things like this. But I can tell you, Erasing the Liberty is the cream of the crop. And if I may say this, the Bible on the story, the cover-up, and the sequences that followed, it is it's a heartbreaking book. If you haven't read it already, I think the people that have, that's all we get back, man. They can't put it down. I have to read it all. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And that's what we wanted, and it just isn't my book, Eddie. It's we got 15 survivors in there, too. Plus,
well, Phil, we hear the music coming back. I'm hanging on to your every word. I just have one quick question about the book when we come back. I want to make sure we get the news out there. What we're talking about tonight, we talked about 6 hours. We couldn't even scratch the surface, so people need to get the book and hopefully finance the movie. People, please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is out with a warning about the future of our nation's economy. The president took to Twitter on Saturday and said the Trump economy is setting records and has a long way up to go. However, if anyone but me takes over in 2020, I know the competition well, there will be a market crash the likes of which no one has seen before. President Trump says there's no doubt Iran was behind the attack on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Now, the Iranians are denying the reports that they're behind anything, but the U.S. military has released a video that appears to be showing an Iranian Navy boat removing an unexploded mine from a Japanese-owned tanker. Republican Senator from South Carolina Lindsey Graham reminds us of why all this is happening.
We put the Ayatollah in a box. We got out of the Iran agreement. We put sanctions on Iran. We're breaking the economy of Iran. We're breaking their back economically, and they're fighting back, pushing back, trying to break our will.
USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
The man accused of shooting Boston Red Sox legend David Ortiz will remain in jail for at least 1 year while awaiting trial. The man and eight other suspects made an initial court appearance in the DR on Friday, all wearing bulletproof vests and helmets. From his jail cell, the suspected gunman told reporters Ortiz was not his intended target. Some big pharmaceutical companies are challenging a new government regulation. And USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The new regulation would require drug makers to reveal the price of medications in their TV ads. The regulation set to take effect in July. Drug makers Amgen, Merck, and Eli Lilly are against it. They say it not only raises concerns about freedom of speech, but the price quoted in the ads may not reflect the true price to the consumer after rebates and assistance programs. Their lawsuit was filed on Friday in federal court in Washington, D.C. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The Ennis is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, Clint was talking about luck with the punk. Punk felt like he was a lucky day, having a lucky day. I don't believe in luck. I believe that everything has been intended, divine intervention. Well, that, Phil, I'd like to ask you a question about your book. Now, if I'm mistaken, is there another new revised edition of the book coming out?
Yes, there is. It's several more chapters than the current book. It's just new information that we picked up from reliable sources, but the book we have on sale now is about as good as it gets, to be honest with you. But if people wanted to specifically order the new edition, it will be out before July the 8th, and that is a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Eddie.
Yes, sir. Well, we have a co-host. I'm getting ready to turn over Lee. And I would like to urge people buy both the books because you know what? We're not in this. I mean, we're just not trying to make profit. People, it takes money. This you're talking to a man right here who he escaped by the grace of God. You know, it's nothing that the Navy did. The Navy didn't save that ship. God Almighty, and Phil will agree with me. The reason I know is because he said it himself. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was the only thing that kept that ship from going down. I mean, basically, it was not much better than a beer can. You could have taken that ship with a can opener, but yet they defeated the greatest military in the Mideast. And now with that, Lee has a couple of comments here, and so does Sam. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh yes, Phil. I got the book last night. I ordered it, and I guess I'll get the revised edition too. But the question, why did the Israelis attack y'all's ship? And the second question, will Trump do anything about it? Can he face the truth? What do you think, Phil?
Those are good questions. And I'll answer the first one or the last one first about Trump. President Trump. I voted for President Trump, and I have supported him, although I'm very chagrined about what he's done in the Middle East, vis-a-vis Israel and giving away the Golan and everything. And that's what they took away from people.
Syria.
Nothing but a land grab. And it's been covered up from Johnson, every administration on to Trump's. So do I expect anything out of President Trump? Absolutely not. Maybe he will get a revised version of the book. I know that. Whether he does anything about that, Lee, that remains to be seen. But perhaps he doesn't even know the truth. I mean, maybe he hasn't dug into it enough. I will give him the benefit of that, but The other things with the 1967, they got the Golan Heights and they put the Palestinians in a very untenable position in an open air concentration camp because of what they did to our ship and the land grab that they're still going on with. And I'm not very hopeful. The only people that I can count on is the American people that learn, and the radio stations like yours that are not afraid to tell the truth, and we'll take a little heat for it. So, listen, we got time and God on our side. Even though I'm 72, I still feel like I got plenty of time. But who knows? But we need good people to keep this story going. And remind me of your first question, Lee. I apologize.
Oh, I say, why would Israel attack their supposedly best ally? What was behind their agenda?
It was a false flag operation, Lee. They wanted to sink our ship fast. They knocked out all of our communications, our .450 caliber machine guns, all watertight doors above the waterline, and they did all that within 5 to 6, 7, 8 seconds. Think about it,
man.
The the precision they use with these heat guiding missiles and so on and so forth to attack an unarmed American ship and hit everything exactly, because they reconned us for hours and hours and hours. They know exactly who we were. They communicated. We were the Liberty, and on and on and on. And for them to say it was mistaken identity is laughable, ludicrous, and a slap in the face to people that have a brain that wants to think a little bit. And I'm, you know, it's not very technically. It's just, you know, looking at the facts. And the facts say it was not a case of mistaken identity. It was a planned attack to sink us and blame it on a foreign government, an Arab government, most likely Cairo. They were going to get Egypt involved even in a bigger way. So that's what they wanted. What do you think the United States would have done if they said, some country in the Middle East, we don't know for sure, but it's an Arab country. Who do you think, what do you think the United States would have done?
I'll tell you what, you know what they'd have done. They would have been in there. They were itching to go in there. Before I say, I've heard some people say, by the way, I'm just shooting down a few arguments when I'm going to go to the crux of the situation me and Sam were talking about in the break. It doesn't matter. The only thing that really matters is that a foreign nation attacked our ship, an unarmed United States Navy ship. It was unarmed. We were totally neutral. We hadn't declared our side for Israel. We hadn't declared our side for Egypt, Jordan, or Syria. Attacked mercilessly. They tried everything in the world to sink that ship. People say, they weren't really trying to sink it. Well, why the hell did they shoot the hell out of it? And secondly, I was telling Sam, some people say, well, it wasn't a false flag attack. But let's just say, for instance, it wasn't a false flag attack. If they'd have sunk that ship like they were, I don't know how it kept from sinking it, but if that ship had gone to the bottom, like I was telling Sam during the break, that would have been a false flag. They'd have used it, whether or not they intended on it being a false flag, they would have used it for a false flag attack. So what I'm saying is, I think it was designed for a false flag attack. I think the evidence shows that. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Phil. You were a sailor. Describe some of the damage to that ship. How did that ship stay afloat?
Well, I think you covered that pretty well in your comments. There was only one entity there to save us, and of course, I have to give my fellow shipmates all the credit in the world. They're true American heroes. All of them, you know. I mean, let me put it this way: you see the very best and the very worst in people in situations like that. But I want to dwell on the very best, and that's my shipmates. And the damage was incredible. There were over 850 cannon rocket holes in the ship. Over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets in the ship. They dropped napalm on our ship, which is a war crime. They fired 5 torpedoes at us out of 3 motor torpedo boats. One of them hit the starboard side, blew approximately a 40 by 40 foot hole in the starboard side in the research area where the spooks were, the spies, the most trusted people on Earth. 25 of them were blown to bits instantly. 25 brave young Americans doing their duty for their country. And it was indescribable. The damage, the carnage, the hurt, the pain, the rejection. It lives in my heart to this very day, as well as it does many other shipmates. And many of them have passed on, Eddie and Lee. They're gone. So they're just waiting for us to all die out. But the torpedo boats would circle our ship and fire their 50 caliber rounds at our stretcher bearers, our firefighters, anything that moved they wanted to kill. They sent over troop-carrying helicopters to finish us off. for some odd reason, they just took off. But we found out later that we do believe it was a message that help was on the way, but help never was on the way. Help was recalled by Lyndon Baines Johnson and Robert McNamara to not come help our ship in distress.
Johnson, Phil, I got a comment about.
Sure.
Go ahead. I got a comment about that. Now, I've heard this excuse by several people, and this excuse does not float with me. Hold tight, Phil. I've got a question to ask you as soon as we come back. Matter of fact, I have two questions to ask Phil as soon as we come back. And Lee Mike, too. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seat. You're listening to a true American hero who was saved by the grace of God. We will be right back.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Cole's back. People, we're going right back to Phil. But before we get to Phil, Matt has a quick comment. Excuse me, Lee, a quick comment or question. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, yeah, Phil. I just wanted to say, you know, they jammed. Y'all were trying to call for help, and somebody jammed everything. Now, how do they get the codes? And, you know, Israel must have been spying on you guys.
That's a good question, Lee. They got the codes from somebody, and they used them. And when they jammed our all of our communications, and there was one person, there was only one antenna that wasn't hit because it wasn't online. So naturally, they didn't even know about it. But it wouldn't have made any difference anyway. We called for help. They didn't send help. They were never going to send help, which is I don't blame the Navy for it. I blame the people in power. You know, the Navy was just, they wanted to help us and they couldn't. It's, you know, a lot of people's lives have been ruined over this.
You know, Phil, I got to make a comment on that. That really gets my blood boiling. I'm telling you what, and Sam agrees with me. Just with all due respect to you, I think that's crap. You know, that admiral, here's what he should have done. I've said this on previous shows. When that criminal LBJ called and told him to recall those jets, there is no excuse whatsoever. I've heard these excuses. Well, the Russians were going to shoot the jets down. And by God, shoot them down because we're going to shoot some of yours down too, Hoss. That admiral should have told LBJ, this is how it is, buddy. If you, I'm not going to recall these fighters. I'm sending these fighters to protect these men that are under my command. These are my guys under my command. We're going to protect them. And if you interfere with this, we're going to go to every news station in the whole world. In fact, I'm going to get them on the line. It's just a minute. So I'd have called his bluff. And if he'd have made a pencil pusher out of me, if they'd have put him in prison, he owed it. Owed it to the Constitution. He owed it to do his duty. That LBJ committed a criminal act, and as far as I'm concerned, that admiral did too. And that's just, maybe I'm just, you know, blame me if I'm going overboard, but that's a bunch of crap. And something else too, Phil, don't worry about us getting heat, because we love heat, my friend. We thrive on it, you know, and we thrive on the hatred of these enemies. And we all know who the enemies are. It's these Jews. Me and Lee, just tell you how we fear the heat. We made a little trip to Congressman David Kustoff's office about a month ago. He is the Jew congressman that authored that bill in Congress to make everything you can think of anti-Semitic. So, my friend, if you want to talk about, you know, get the truth out of the line, you come to the right place. You come to Liberty News with Sam. You come to Blood River Radio with Lee and Ed and Jacob and Matt and Gene and the whole crew. And I tend to get carried away sometimes, Phil, but they left you guys out there, you know, with your ding-dong in your hand, and they left you out there to be slaughtered. So it's my question, what in the hell are those trillion-dollar aircraft carriers out there with those, God only knows how much these fighter jets out there, what the hell are they there for? Just to go out there, you know, just to make a little, you know, luxury cruise. They were there to protect life and liberty. And the Russians, and I don't buy that either, if they were going to shoot American fighters down, well, they would have shot those damn Israeli fighters down too. But anyway, that's just I'm an old Army guy. What the hell do I know? And I'm going to go right back to you, Phil. I'm sorry I interrupted you, my brother.
No, that's fine. And, you know, you got legitimate thoughts there, you know, and thank you for your service in the United States Army, as well as my son.
Thank you, sir.
Now, but he served in the Army in Afghanistan. But, no, you have to remember, guys, that who is attacking us, okay? It was the Zionist state of Israel. So who controls the media? Who controls the congressmen? Who controls everything that goes on in our beautiful, wonderful America that I love dearly? I distrust and despise our elected officials, but I love my country.
Amen.
So,
amen.
The admiral, Admiral Geis, he did, you know, he did reprimand or call in to get a further confirmation. That's when Johnson got on the line and says, "I'm not going to attack or help Israel. I mean, my best ally, Israel, and we weren't quite as much allies." Then, as we are now, or 1 hour after the attack, best buddies, they covered up for him. But it's every president. Now, you show me one congressman, one senator, one dog catcher that says a bad word about Israel and see if they get elected. Guarantee you.
You get that right.
So who runs this country? It sure as hell isn't our congressmen or presidents. It's the Zionist state that runs this country. And if people don't like it, that's tough stuff, but that's just the way it is. It's the way it's been that way all my life, and it's even getting worse now. Think about what's going to happen with Iran and And, I mean, it's getting close. And who would ever thunk? It's always this time of year, too. In June, they start this stuff, you know. And they're going to do something to a ship over there or, you know, one of our ships, then it's on. But my problem is with these bought, paid-for congressmen, women, and senators, and everybody else in the government that don't have the kahunas to stand up to a Zionist state that will murder their own countrymen and leave them out there to die. Now, if that, and then cover it up for them and still cover it up. Oh, it was a mistaken identity. Well, it wasn't a mistaken identity. I'm an eyewitness to this, along with my other surviving shipmates. They'll tell you all to a man, it was not a mistaken identity. It was cold-blooded, premeditated murder.
Bill, I have a couple of questions.
Aircraft on our ship so they could hide their identity. We didn't know who was attacking until the torpedo boats came up, and they had the flag of Star of David on them.
You know, Phil, I'm just going to interrupt you, but this is, once again, my blood starting to boil. Point one, the first jets that came over were totally unmarked. Totally unmarked. So that's set up, and I mean, that right there is proof that this was going to be a clandestine operation. It was proof that they knew that ship was American. And I have a question for you now, Phil. Now, and it's a two-part question. How soon in the attack, how long did the attack go before y'all knew there were Israeli planes? And secondly, who found out there were the Israeli planes first? The sailors on that ship or President LBJ?
Well,
when he called and said,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, when he called and said he's not going to embarrass our friends, the Israelis, how did he know they were Israelis when y'all didn't even know they were Israelis?
Oh, that's exactly right. How did he know? Because we didn't know. We didn't know who was attacking us until we saw the Star of David on their three torpedo boats. They even went as far as to, we had three life rafts left. Three out of a crew of 294 souls. There was three rafts left. They shut up the captain's gig and the mortar torpedo boat and all the life rafts except three. And they shot two of them out of the water and took one aboard their boat as a trophy of their kill, I guess. I mean, war crime after war crime, act of war against the United States of America still exists in my heart and mind. This very moment. I mean,
four war crimes I can count right now, Phil. First of all, attacking an unarmed ship in international waters, war crime number one. International war crime number two, knocking out the distress signals, jamming the distress signals, knocking out all your communication. International crime, war crime number three, using napalm on your industry, and war crime number four, they shot the medics. That's what I was. I was a combat medic. They shot the friggin' medics, and then they shot the life rafts. They shot them, the lifeboats on the ship and in the water. Am I correct in saying that, Phil?
You are, but you make a good point about medics. On that day, that night, we all became medics. It was a race to save every individual you could on that ship, and they were so badly wounded and blown apart, it's indescribable. The agony and pain these men suffered at the hands of the Zionist state. I was one of the walking wounded. I was very, very, very lucky to be alive, but those guys didn't make it. They didn't get to come home. They didn't have the chance to have a family. Children. A wife they can love. They miss that.
Amen. I'm almost speechless now, Phil. And it continues on to this day, you know, the cover-up. It just goes on. And they have their tentacles around us. The Jewish cabal. And by the way, what we're talking about, well, we're coming right back. We're going to get ready to go to hour two. Phil, hang on. This is going to be a long break. Hang on to your seat, people. We're going to come right back with Phil to pick up at hour two. Be right back.